to the Roma Press Podcast with John Solano.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Roma Press Podcast. I'm Roma Press Editor John Solano. Hope you are all doing well. Just a couple of things before I bring Andy on, where we discuss the victory over Udinese, the sporting director situation for Roma, because as we are recording this, Ricky Massara, the current sporting director of Roma, has landed in Boston. He will be meeting with Roma president James Palotta. And as we reported exclusively on the website, Franco Baldini will indeed be present at this summit, so to speak, in Boston with the rest of the Roma hierarchy, where I expect and where others expect Massara to be confirmed as the full-time sporting director of the club. Andy and I get into that a little bit and discuss the situation at length. But again, before I bring him on, just wanted to thank everybody for the well wishes as my wife and I welcomed our son. She's doing great. Son is doing great. Thank you for everybody who wished us well, who reached out to us on Twitter, through Patreon, wherever. Really, really appreciate it. It means a lot. And very happy, just very, very tired as well. So thank you to everyone. And also have to mention our two sponsors, EuroFantasyLeague.com, the best online football fantasy website where you can play Serie A, Premier League, Bundesliga, Ligue 1. You can also find a variety of articles on their main page, EuroFantasyLeague.com, including one that I just wrote, What We Learned from Roma's 1-0 Victory over Udinese, where I go into a bit of an appreciation for Antonio Mirante, who I was very, very pleased with in the victory, and who I think clearly should have been playing for months now, but that's probably a rant and a story for another time. And also, romapress.co.uk, the very best in football betting tips with over 90% accuracy, where for just £10 per month, you get access to 6 of the football leagues in Europe, the betting tips with over 90% accuracy. So if you'd like to bet on football, start winning more money, romapress.co.uk. So, and lastly, I have to thank all of our wonderful patrons from Patreon. If you would like to support the website, you can go to patreon.com/romapress. Or you could go to the support page on the top of romapress.net. By becoming a patron of the website, you're not only supporting us in our endeavors with the podcast and the website, but you can also get early access to the podcast. You can also get extra episodes of the podcast as well. And again, you were giving us a huge, huge lift, because none of this is possible without you. And I also have to give a shout out to our newest patron, Jake Anderson, who you can find on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at JWA1994. Again, Jake Anderson at JWA1994. Jake, thank you so much for your support. Again, without you guys, none of this is possible. So we thank you so, 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 so much, all of our patrons. I can't express enough how much it means to us. And again, without you guys, podcast, website, none of it is possible without you. So thank you so much. So let me bring Andy on now. As I said, we discussed Roma winning over Udinese, and we also discussed the sporting director situation at Roma, which I talked a little bit because we recorded this previously, but I've gotten a couple of updates on my phone here. But I am being told that Massara is, and this is someone at the club, this is me quoting them, 90% likely to be confirmed as a new sporting director. It would take something dramatic for him not to be confirmed as a sporting director. Either he doesn't want the role, or he discusses the role with Palotta and it doesn't align with his vision or his will, in the sense that he doesn't have as much of the responsibilities are less than what he may have expected. Luis Campos is a name that everybody has seen out there. But I am being told that Massara will indeed get the sporting director role, barring a change of heart from either him or a change of heart from Palotta, in the sense that he doesn't want him to have as many responsibilities as we've seen from Monchi, who had full reign, and then Sabatini, who didn't have as many responsibilities as Monchi, but did oversee a lot of the sporting project at Roma. So take that as you may with a grain of salt, even if you want. But I do expect that Masada will be given the full-time sporting director role. And I don't think we will get word of that until tomorrow, because right now it is middle of the afternoon in the United States, whereas in Italy it's later in the evening. So I don't expect any updates today. I do expect tomorrow that it will start leaking out from the probably the same individuals who are leaking information to me, who confirmed that Franco Baldini will be at the meeting. He has flown in from London. And that, again, Masada will more than likely be confirmed as the next sporting director of Roma. Let me know what you guys think of that, either on Twitter, Patreon, wherever you are. Andy and I both agree that it's the right move, but I would like to get sort of the temperature of everybody else in the room, if they agree that Masada is the right name to take over the sporting project at Roma, or if you guys would like to see somebody else. There's been a lot of names floated out there. Petracchi of Torino, Luis Campos is a name that Palotta has spoken with in the past. But if he were to come in, it wouldn't be as a sporting director. It would be in some other capacity. I don't know if it would be technical director, but he would not, more than likely, not even work in Rome. He would work, probably remain in France. So it remains to be seen how this new sporting hierarchy at Roma is structured. I'm very, very eager to see what the club ultimately decides. But if it were up to me, Masada undoubtedly should be given the role as permanent sporting director. And I wouldn't even bring in Luis Campos. Frankly, I would give maybe Totti more responsibilities, maybe allow Balzaretti to become the vice sporting director. And I would use sort of this little triumvirate of Balzaretti, Totti, and Masada. But again, that's just me. It remains to be seen if that happens. But again, for the fifth and final time, I do expect Reiki Masada to be named the full-time sporting director at Roma, barring any collapse in talks between he and Palotta. I think it would take something dramatic to happen, which can't be ruled out, because this is Roma and there is always drama at this club. And just when you think you have things figured out, they flip on their head and they go the completely different direction. So we will wait for updates in regards to that. I will now bring on Andy as we discuss Roma 1, Udinese 0, the sporting director role, and the race for the Champions League. All right, Andy, we are back. We're recording this a few days after Roma had their important victory after Udinese. And we're recording this as Roma sporting director Ricky Masada is en route. He will arrive in about 4 hours to Boston to meet with Palotta and decide what happens next, who the next sporting director will be. So let's start with that. Would you be disappointed if he is confirmed as a new sporting director?
No, if the news are from Sky reported by Gianluca Di Marzio are correct, that there are two options on the table, either it's Masada on his own or Masada and Campos, I'm fine either way.
For me, and maybe you disagree, but I think the best decision was not taking a risk. I don't think they could have afforded a risk. I think they needed somebody who understands the environment, understands the club, and I think most importantly, understands the fans, and especially Palotta. Now, I understand some people might be disappointed with this because he's not, trying to think of a word, like a flashy name.
Mm-hmm.
But does that bother you at all?
No, because for me, it's a win-win situation because, first of all, I know a lot of people are are still shell shocked after the Monchi experience. But you know, yesterday I saw a team built by Campos bully a PSG team 5-1, and it was exciting to see, and it was a very well-oiled team. There is no doubt that he's a great expert in the field, but on the other hand, I'm just happy that Masada will get a chance to play a role in this club either way, because I think he deserves it. He's been almost invisible for a number of years. He's been here for a long time. He's been under the wings of Sabatini. He's learned a lot from Sabatini. He's been in the hiding in the shadows, behind the curtains. Mostly, he was the one coordinating the loans with the youth players. So he's seen a lot, and he knows what this club needs. He knows how this club works from inside. He knows that there is a lot of chaos, that there is a lot of different opinions and people talking and people thinking different things. So I'm glad we're sticking to him no matter what, that he's going to play a part in this team's future. And I'm just happy for the guy. I think he deserves it.
I think he deserves it too. I think this is something long overdue. I'm anxious to see what actually happens, because I don't expect any surprises. I just want to hear from Palotta's mouth that he does trust Masada, because I do think he is the right man for this job. I think tomorrow around early evening time, Italian time, I think we'll know what will happen. Stuff is already starting to leak out. Someone from the club already confirmed to me Baldini will be flying from London to Boston and will be present. A lot of people have mixed feelings on this one. By your exasperation, I'm assuming you're one of them. I share my trepidations. I think Palotta trusts him too blindly at times, but he's one of the names he trusts most. He introduced him to the world of football. He was the first name that he reached out to when he acquired the club. So I don't know. I'm assuming you're not a big fan of him, no?
Well, I'm not. No, listen, I think, again, it's, you know, fans are humans, so they experience fear. And I think a lot of fans in this case experience fear. I don't know anything about Baldini, and nobody really does, because he's just this outside body that we've never seen publicly at Roma. And he's always somewhere, either in Cape Town or in London. And he has always a say in things, despite being rumored that he quit a few months ago. So I think I don't know anything about him. I don't have anything against him. Is that that mysterious figure of Baldini is kind of very representative of the chaos, the turmoil, the inside turmoil that took place this year at Roma, and which I think was one of the main reasons why this club malfunctioned this season. Too many people doing different things at the same time. And, you know, even with the decision to fire Di Francesco was being thought, you know, obviously Palotta was thinking different things, Baldini was thinking different things, Baldissoni was thinking different things. And I don't know, it seems like there is so many players in this situation that sometimes it seems like there's too many of them. And Baldini is one of those people that, you know, as a fan, you've never really been in touch with him. You just know that he has a say in very important decisions regarding the club.
Yeah, and I could understand, especially to newer Roma fans who may not have been here for the first time or even the second time who is at the club. Mm-hmm. He does not talk a lot at all. He does not give press conferences. And frankly, right now, Roma, he's not even technically a member of the club. He's just an advisor. Exactly. So there's no need for him to speak. There's no need for him to talk to the media, address anybody. But yeah, he is sort of the shadowy figure that nobody really knows anything about. And Palotta has a lot of trust in him, because, listen, this club, it's Palotta, it's Alex Zecca. These are two guys who come from America. They've never worked in football before. They've worked in sport before. Everybody knows, who watches the NBA. They've been involved with the Boston Celtics, but these are two guys who know nothing about football. And the man who is helping them guide the waters of the treacherous terrain that is world football is Baldini. So he's a guy they trust a lot. I'll be interested to see what happens, but I do expect Masada to be confirmed. For me, it would just be weird for Campos to leave Lille, where he is the sporting director, only to join Roma and be confirmed as he wouldn't even be the sporting director. I don't know if they would make him technical director. I don't know if they would make him advisor. I don't know what the title would be. But based on what I've been told and what other people have writing, he wouldn't even work at Trigoria. He'd remain in Monte Carlo.
Yeah, that's so, again, you know, I can understand why people right now are afraid to take a gamble, and I can understand that. And listen, as I've said, I think Massara, the fact that Massara will be a focal point of this management in this, let's say, new Roma, is great by itself. So I'm excited to see what happens, because again, this is a young sporting director, and he's got first time he might have the chance to shine, because the only real chances that he had in the past was when he would become the interim sporting director when like Sabatini left, and you know, those January transfer market sessions. So nothing extraordinary, and then he disappeared for a while. And you know, let's remember that even Monchi said that Massara was probably one of the best and most professional people he met in this business. So that says a lot about him. And yeah, I'm just excited to see what he can do.
He's a very different personality than Monchi and Sabatini. He doesn't talk we discussed this before, but very straight-faced, not very emotional. So it'll be a much different change-up than the previous two figures here. But I wanted to get your opinion, though. Monchi has been speaking a lot the last few days, and I'm sure you caught some of the things he said. But one of them was he would do it all over again. He'd come back to Roma. He has no regrets. And obviously, you're not expecting the guy to purge the club, but it's pretty eye-opening that he's at least not raising his hands a bit, especially considering he's already at another club. He has nothing to lose at this point. But I also, Nainggolan gave a very interesting interview too, where I'm sure you read it, where he said, you know, you profess to love Roma, and then 3 days later, you already have an agreement in place with a new club. I don't know. The entire saga is still just, as you mentioned, still has me scarred a bit.
Yeah, it's very awkward, because it seems like for Monchi, I don't know, it seems like nothing happened. It seems like he took a 2 year vacation, not even a 2 year vacation, a year and a half vacation, and now he's back home, which is, you know, good for him. It seems very odd. Whatever he's saying, it doesn't ring very very honest and very true. And I call bullshit on the fact that he would do it all over again, because, you know, he couldn't. You could see him just wanting to get out of here as early as, I would say, December. In December or even November, he started to give less and less interviews. And whenever he would give an interview, it would be a more downbeat interview. Usually he was always upbeat, always there to defend his coach, always there to, you know, to say Forza Roma. And then slowly it started to deteriorate, then resulting in him leaving the club. And on the other hand, you know, Nainggolan, I just wish sometimes they would just stop with the interviews with the certain players, or at least change the topics, because this is like a guy with a new girlfriend talking about his ex-girlfriend all the time. And, you know, you're at Inter, you have a chance, you scored a goal, you know, you're sitting comfortably at third spot. That's it. I don't understand these players that feel the need to be relevant when they're not right now in what Roma are trying to do.
I agree. So let's switch gears a little bit to the table. If there was a dictionary or encyclopedia definition of what a Ranieri performance is, that was it against Udinese. I mean, that was almost too stereotypical. True. Ranieri.
True. It is. It was. I thought he messed up the starting 11, but then, you know, with the two strikers all day long, the day before, he was telling the media that that's exactly what Udinese would want him to do, to use two strikers and blah, 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 and that he will not.
he said it'll be one or the other because they want me to
exactly
play. So and then reverse psychology.
Yeah, exactly. And then the plot twist, he puts both Dzeko and Šek on the field, and it didn't work, but he did a great job of knowing who to insert. I thought Pellegrini easily was one of the best players in that second half. That second half was just a great, very Ranieri-like half. It was a game of again, just a team that was missing so many players. We were playing with Marcano, a left back, which I must say, great game. No, I cannot stress it enough. He had a great game. He was going forward. He even got a shot off and just showed real confidence on that left flank. So hats off to Marcano. But otherwise, it was a very gritty game. And it was a very well-controlled game. We didn't allow that many chances, Udinese, which we always do against these inferior sides, often with counterattacks. And again, hats off to Ranieri for having the balls to keep Olsen on the bench, because that has certainly played a large part in these last couple of victories. And it's also because of that, because this team clearly is functioning differently defensively with Mirante on goal. And obviously he's not a brilliant goalkeeper, a brilliant goal stopper, but he's doing his job. He knows what to do. He knows how to talk to his defenders. He made a mistake. He went out too early to grab a ball. He got cut off for a minute. Luckily it hit the woodwork, but you can see the communication between him, Fazio, Manolas, completely different.
I completely agree. And listen, he is having better performances while missing, you know, Florenzi. He has Juan Jesus and Marcano out there. We have to give him credit. Fazio has been much, much better the last 2 weeks. He's looked so much better. And you tweeted something out about him a few times. You know, you and I both have said a few times on here that it's a problem when El Shaarawy is, you know, your best player in attack. Is he improving, or I'm stuck. Is he just having the best season amongst a group who are having a really shit season because Dzeko's been bad, Šek has been bad, Under has been injured, Perotti has been injured? And is it just really El Shaarawy is just having a less shit season than them? Or is it he's improving and he's becoming something now? Because I you and I have been saying that it's a problem if he's your leading scorer. But maybe we're not giving him enough credit. Maybe he is improving and he's turning into an important player here.
Yeah, that's a good question, because we can argue that this season, this really great season, probably, again, some people came at me saying, you know, you criticize them so much. Well, the first couple of months, August, September, he was awful. But you know, one could argue that this great season of his is also due to the fact that we have such a horrible attacking line, statistically speaking. But it seems like he's not even, it's not about the assists or the goals. It's just the way he's playing. Like if somebody right now watches El Shaarawy play a game like the one he played against Udinese, for example, or the one he played against, what was it, Empoli, the first game with Ranieri back. Again, it's and then compares that to a game from, say, 2016 or 17, totally different player. And right now he's just in a very, it seems very confident, something which he never was. And he always seems to make the more correct decision. Again, something that, I mean, I remember watching him in so many times in frustration for him to pass the ball or do this or, you know, go for the cross and not go for the shot. And right now he's just doing everything by himself and it's working out great. And that assist is something, again, that shows confidence and intelligence, which is something, again, that we don't usually mention when talking about El Shaarawy.
Yeah, it's really, really weird. I mean, that assist was, I mean, it was fucking world class.
Yeah, that was, and he's 26 years old, so this is a great time for him still to grow as a player.
I agree. I completely agree. You know, we look like assholes now for maybe not giving him the proper credit. I mean, could you imagine where they would be without him? I mean, if he was having a bad season, I mean, they would be screwed because of Dzeko's been bad, Szczęsny's been bad.
Kluivert, unproductive.
Yeah. I want to talk about that, though. So what? Obviously, Dzeko had his first home goal in the league for the first time in about a year. And it's just so clear that this thing with Schick and him does not work. They just don't work at all together on the pitch. What in the world are they going to do? Because we've talked about it before, but I don't know. Schick has not shown enough. I thought this would be a good opportunity for him when Nanyeti came in, but he just hasn't done enough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, it's funny because the moment Dzeko scores, immediately a day later, there are so many transfer news saying, well, after all, he may stay. No, not just because he scored that goal. This doesn't change much in the complexity of the whole thing. I read some articles that were saying that Schick staying depends very much on the next coach. But I just don't see a future for both of them at this club anymore because Schick has been here 2 years and, you know, he's not getting any younger and he just hasn't done enough to prove to have that, you know, particular quality that you can build upon as a club like Roma, who are most likely going to have to rebuild this summer. So it pains me to say both of them seem like they're on their way out. And it's a very odd thing that this pairing never worked because Schick at Sampdoria played with Quagliarella.
Exactly.
You know, he always played as that second striker to that main one, to the one that gets all the headers, who's the one who's physical, because Schick is not that physical. Schick has tremendous technical ability and quality, but he's not, at times he's slow, at times he's afraid of physical contact. He doesn't have that good, you know, good, strong physical attitude inside the box, which is something that, you know, that's his body, but that's Dzeko, that's Quagliarella, and it just strikes me that they never found that connection, that partnership between a young up-and-coming striker and a veteran experienced one.
It's been really, really weird. I do think they both have to go. Puzzling the lack of production they've gotten from both of them this season. It truly, truly is. But what do they do now? Because we got word that Aussie is going to be out for 2 to 3 weeks. You and I have discussed ad nauseum the puzzling nature to which Roma play with and without him. Zonzi likely to be back. So what? It's worrying that we have to discuss once again a 36-year-old midfielder being out. But Jesus Christ, it seems like they do nothing when he's not there.
It's a big test. Now it's a big test, and this time around, I really don't know what to expect. I know I say it too many times, but I don't know what to expect. How will Inter play? How will they approach this game? Will they just trot around the field, walk around, you know, or will they fight? And will they go for the 3 points? And I also don't know what to expect from our players, because in these last few games, they've shown immense spirit. I mean, the team that faced Udinese was decimated. The whole back line was you know, we had Marcano as left back, Juan Jesus as right back. We had El Shaarawy almost dropping in as an extra fullback. We had Zaniolo also dropping in as an extra fullback, playing very deep or on the wing. So, they still overcame the difficulties, and they still managed to win against Sampdoria, against Udinese, which are not easy teams for a team like Roma. So I really, it all depends on the momentum. How can Ranieri keep this team rolling? Can he really get the best out of them for these next few games? Because these ones are crucial. Obviously, we've said this many, many times in many other occasions, and it's football, so it's unpredictable. But for me, this Inter game is either you're in or you're out of the Champions League race. This is it. I think this is truly it. And I don't have any answers. And to tell you the truth, I'm scared to face this game without De Rossi, because he's been so important. At the same time, I don't even know how he could sustain three games in such a short span of time. So it's scary, but it's going to take a lot. And if this team wants it, I think they can get it done.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like obviously Inter, they pumped Frosinone is shit, but I didn't think they did well against Atalanta. They hammered Genoa before that. But they lost to Lazio the week before. And then before that, I didn't know what to make of that derby against Milan, because it was awkward. I don't think they played particularly well. They were without Icardi. Frankly, I thought the Icardi episode, the drama, would perhaps take them down, because if there was ever something more that was akin to Luciano Spalletti and his career, I mean, that is it. That sums it up. I don't know what to expect, though. I think they will be without Brozovic. I think that's a very big, important loss. But I don't know if these defensive performances in the last 2 weeks are merely a fluke, or if Roma are truly being transformed under Ranieri. I mean, what do you think?
I don't think this is a fluke. I think it's surely there is a lot of Ranieri in this, and I hope that there is also some little bit of our players in it. I think that some of our players want to make a statement, want to prove their worth. Even a guy like Marcano, you know, who hadn't had that many chances, and every time he would go on the field, he would get criticized, he would get benched a lot, and yet he played excellent, and he it wasn't his position, it wasn't the easiest of games, but he overcame everything and anything, and he had a great game. So I think it's also a little bit of the players now. Remember, the previous game at the Olimpico against Inter was also a draw that came after, I think, a couple of losses. And we just
did. It was. And then there were those penalties that were a big, big.
Exactly.
I mean, there was that one on, There was that one on Zaniolo. That was a huge, huge miss.
Yeah, and but that whole game was, wow, they play with such spirit. Nobody expected it. Nobody expect, and that draw felt more like a win because everybody said, well, you know, Inter got away with one. They got lucky. And nobody expected that game to be so intense, so gritty. So I think if Roma can bring the same intensity, they can match Inter. Inter are very unpredictable team. They have highs, they have lows. Some players underperform. Sometimes some of the players have some great performances. I just don't see them as this impossible task. I don't see them as this incredible team to beat. I think Roma can get it done if they keep it rolling. And it all depends on if they really want it.
Yeah, so now we have to take stock of this Champions League race. I thought Lazio were... I didn't know what to make of that match against Milan. That was... shithousery at the highest level,
probably the worst display of Serie A in general. If you don't want to watch Serie A, that's a game you want to avoid.
Yeah, but they did pull that one out of their ass somehow. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they would. Lazio obviously still have that match in hand, but Inter at 60, Milan 55, Roma 54.
Ugh.
Now I still maintain that Milan having that Coppa Italia run-in will affect them. If nothing at all, it should waste some energy. But, I mean, Roma, after they face Inter at the weekend, they're home against Cagliari, and then they're away to Genoa. Genoa have been shit as of late. So, I mean, come on.
Let's not forget about Atalanta yet, huh? Tonight against Andreazzoli's team.
Oh, no, you deem them a threat for this.
I don't deem them as a threat. I'm just saying they're still in it. So it's I would like to get some distance between them. I'm happy we got some distance between Lazio, but this whole situation with Milan really upset me. Because I watched the game, I didn't think they deserved it. I thought a draw would have been a perfect result. And now it's going to be difficult because if you compare our schedule to their schedule, as you said, the only real threat to their schedule would be that Coppa Italia game and if Montella wants revenge. If Montella wants revenge, he would do us a great favor in those final days.
Yeah, I mean, it all. But really, I mean, Fiorentina are still in the Coppa Italia as well. Milan are in it, Atalanta are in it, and Lazio are in it. So you would think at some point one of these sides who are all in the running with Roma, let's not forget that, except Fiorentina, you would think, I would just be curious to hear where the rationale is between resting in the league or resting in the cup.
Yeah.
Because I'm probably have a different mindset than most. I am always go for the trophy, regardless. Go for the trophy. When you can win a trophy, you go for it. Everything else doesn't matter. But I have a hard time believing, especially with their financial situation, that Milan would prioritize, and sacrifice the league over the cup. But it's just interesting to see this play out because... Yeah, we talked about it the last time. I mean, Milan, their schedule is a bit easier than Roma's. What also I think is a crucial point is if Juve faced Roma while they're still in the Champions League, which is on the 12th of May. If Juve is still in the Champions League, I would not at all be surprised to see Juve throw out a team as they did this past weekend, where it was nothing but younger players playing out of position because they won't want to risk anybody. So I think, as bad as it sounds, we might want to be pulling for them in the in the Champions League.
Yes, unfortunately, yes. At the same time, I think that the Milan-Lazio game in the Coppa Italia is going to be a very intense one. I think there's some bad blood right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if there were some injuries during that game. And again, you're right. I just don't know how willing they are to sacrifice the league for that cup. And right now, I'm of the same mindset as you are. I don't think they're going for it. I think they're gonna go for the Champions League spot, and because that's reasonable in the long run. So it's tough. And as you said, Juve need to just bag this Scudetto already, and so then they're just gonna be fielding out youth players, Serie C players, whatever. So it depends on us, but right now it depends a lot on others too.
Yeah, the last thing, if Roma draw this weekend against Inter, I don't think it's the end of the world. They cannot lose, though. They can't lose. Because I think one of the matches that everybody seems to be overlooking is, so Milan have Parma at the weekend, then they're home against Lazio in the Coppa Italia. But then they go away to Torino, and Torino is fighting for European football. I forget who it was. It might have been Mazzari.
Are they still in it?
He was complaining about the referee.
Okay.
They are still in it. They're I believe Mazzari was complaining about the refereeing at the weekend. And he said something to the effect of, they don't want Torino playing in Europe. And he wants European football. So I have a feeling that, Torino is, that's a difficult match for Milan. And then the week after that, they're going to have Bologna, who are still fighting for relegation. You have Mihajlovic there, who is going to want revenge for the way things ended with him at Milan. So I don't know. On paper, their fixtures and their calendar looks a bit easier, but I still feel like Roma, if you get a Juve that is still in the Champions League, I have a feeling they would trot out a team just like they did at the weekend with guys playing out of position, youngsters, and they're not going to give a shit.
Right.
So I don't know.
And then you face Sassuolo and you face Parma, which are two teams that they're not fighting for relegation, and they're not fighting for a European football spot. So it would seem, let's not take anything for granted, because this is Roma and this is football and this is Serie A, so it's never easy. But it would seem that those final games could be comfortable.
All right, so we'll keep doing this every time, but we'll just say in or out, yes. Roma in the Champions League next year, yes or no?
No, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no and just hope for the best, but expect the worst.
Okay. I agree. I'm on the same boat as you. I'm on the same boat as you. I'm going to say no. I'll hedge myself a little bit to avoid disappointment, but yeah, I'll say no for now, but obviously expect better. So we'll see what happens at the weekend against Inter. So everyone, we're going to end it here. We will be back later in the week. We'll discuss more as we lead up to the crucial match against Inter with plenty of Champions League football implications. So thank you for listening. As always, if you could continue to rate, like, subscribe, all that good stuff, we would really, really appreciate it. And until next time, ciao.